Good morning. It's good to see several out this morning. If you will, go ahead, open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 23 through 25 here in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. This morning, what we're going to look at is just some things to kind of prepare us for this upcoming meeting we're having. Of course, we're 2 weeks away from our gospel meeting with Keith Sharp. That'll pop up back on the screen here in a moment. But it's going to be here in 2 weeks, April 7th through 12th. And this is what he's going to talk with us. If you look on the screen, there's going to be a lot of good, interesting sermons that he's going to bring for us. And I'm really looking forward to some of these things. Looks like he's going to be doing a three-parter on the subject of evangelism. We kind of looked at that a few weeks ago. Earlier this month on that subject, and he's going to do what appears to be a three-parter on that subject when he comes, and we're certainly looking forward to that. And Monday through Friday, he's got a lot of other sermons. What God Has Joined Together is going to be on Wednesday, a sermon on marriage, authority, discipleship, sin, and having been crucified with Christ. A lot of good subjects are going to be brought to our attention when he comes. Of course, we've got different things going on. We've got an ad in the newspaper that we put in to let folks know. And we've also got a Facebook ad that we're running. And that's going to be good because it's going to let people know that about this gospel meeting. We're going to go door to door a little more during these last 2 weeks. And I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really hoping that through this meeting, we can at least convert one soul to Christ. I would like to convert all of Alney to Christ. And hopefully through this, we can at least convert one soul to Christ. It would be, well, all worth it if we can convert at least one to the Lord. But today, what I want us to talk about is a subject regarding our attendance to this meeting. And what I want to talk about is why attend our gospel meeting. That's the question I want us to answer this morning. Why attend it? And so that's something I want to talk about this morning. But before we get into that question about why we should attend, I want us to think about why you should not attend. Now, when we think about this subject of not attending, you'll understand what I mean by that phrase, why you should not attend, as we get into this subject a little more. But you should not attend this gospel meeting just because you have to. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 23 through 25 states this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I think the King James says the profession of our faith without wavering. Verse 24, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day drawing near." Now, one of the things... The reason why I say that you should not attend our gospel meeting because you have to is because some people approach it like that. Well, I guess we have a gospel meeting coming up. I guess we just gotta be there. I guess we just have to be here. It's a command of God. We just gotta be here. Guess we'll just be here. That's not the proper attitude to have when it comes to coming to worship God. Look over in John 4, verse 24, if you will. John 4, verse 24, I want us to notice what Jesus said to a Samaritan woman. John 4, verse 24 says this, and let's actually go ahead and back up to verse 23. It says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." We need to have our hearts focused on God when we come to this meeting. Our hearts need to be focused on it. Our hearts need to be that way whenever we come to attend the service of services of this church, whether it be the morning service or evening service or afternoon service or Wednesday evening service. We need to be willing to have this heart and have our hearts in this. That's the idea of worshiping in spirit. You have to worship in truth. You have to worship in the way God has commanded, but your heart needs to be there as well. That's important as we study this. Just coming because you just have to is not the proper mindset when coming before God. Our hearts need to be in it as well. But also, you should not attend this gospel meeting just because someone will get on to you if you don't. Some people approach it, oh, that preacher's going to preach another sermon on attendance if I don't come, so I guess I better come. Oh, I better come because someone's going to ask me where I was during the meeting. If I'm not there, they're going to ask, and if I say what I was probably doing, I'm not going to be here, I'm going to get chewed out for it. Some people approach it that way. Guess I better be here, I'm going to get chewed out. That's not the proper attitude to have when we come together and assemble to worship God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I do want to make this point, though. Back there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it makes that statement about considering how to stimulate one another to love and good works. The only point I'll make with that verse is this. I pointed this out just real briefly, like 3 seconds last Sunday evening or afternoon. How can an empty pew stimulate your brethren to love and good works? That's something we really need to think about. Another reason why you shouldn't attend the gospel meeting is just because you like Keith Sharp's preaching. You know, Keith Sharp is probably a really good preacher. I've never heard a sermon of his before. Some of you, I've heard that I think he mentioned he was in this area, not here in Olney, but kind of in the surrounding cities where there would have been a gospel meeting flyer with his name on it. He's been in the area preaching, I'm told. Maybe you've heard him preach before. Maybe you've, whether you've attended where he held a gospel meeting, maybe you've listened to a sermon of his online. One of the things to understand is, though, even though his preaching may be really good, you shouldn't be coming just because you like his preaching. A lot of people will come only because they like the way a person presents their sermons and presents the Word of God to them. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, noticing verses 4 through 6. Turn over there if you will. I think this helps answers concerning the subject of attending just because you like the way a preacher preaches his sermon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice with me verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 4 through 6 says, "For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos." You know, that's actually one of the issues Paul's having to deal with here. People are dividing over these preachers who converted them. You read about that more in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. For when people are saying this, are you not mere men? Verse 5. What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants from whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but Ethan Jennings caused the growth. I planted, Apollos watered, but Travis Hall, but Mike Gerber, but Keith Sharp caused the growth. Is that what it says? No, it says, but God caused the growth. The only reason why the only reason why we can even preach is because we have this book here, the book that God gave us. It all comes from God. God is the one who causes the growth, not Ethan Jennings, not anybody else. We need to remember that. Just because Keith Sharp preaches well is not the reason why we need to be here. You should also not attend this gospel meeting because you like the sermon topics. Let's look at that list again. We got a whole bunch of great sermon topics coming up. I'm looking forward to each of them. We got the Great Commission, again, that three-parter there on Sunday on evangelism. It's going to be a great thing to see, a great thing to hear from God's Word. But if the only reason why I'm here Monday night is because I like that title, The Cost of Discipleship, or if the reason why I'm here on Tuesday is because I like that title or that topic, the nature of authority, or Wednesday because he's doing a sermon on marriage, or Thursday because of this sermon on sin, or 7 p.m. on Friday because he's preaching, I have been crucified with Christ. There's a big problem with that. Because at that point, if that's the reason why I'm here, it's because I like those titles. worship has ceased to be about God, and it's become about my desires. It's become about what I want. You remember John 4, verse 24 again. Those who worship the Father, it says in verse 23, those who worship God, verse 24, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the focus of worship. Not my desires, not what I want. God needs to be. Joshua 24, verse 14. Go ahead and turn over there if you will. Joshua 24, verse 14 is sometimes referred to as the Old Testament John 4, verse 24. Turn over there if you will. Joshua 24, verse 14 has a very, very similar phrase to John 4. Joshua chapter 24, in verse 14, God has always desired this among His people, both under Old and New Covenants. Verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him. How? Back in John 4, verse 24, it said, in spirit and in truth. Here it says, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, with the heart and in the way He has commanded. With sincerity, with truth, with spirit, with truth. That's the way we need to be worshiping God. We don't need to be coming together and worshiping God just because we like the sermon topic that's about ready to come up. Our desires should not be what motivates us to come worship God. It needs to be the fact that we're coming together to worship God. But another reason why you should not attend this gospel meeting is because you have nothing better to do. You know, that was something that one person, someone brought this up a while back. Years and years ago, back before TV, back before a lot of things that happen on Sunday, there would be, during gospel meetings and Sunday evening and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday, all those different times that brethren came together to worship God, people would come out in great numbers during those times. Christian and non-Christian alike would fill up assemblies. But one of the reasons for that was because on Sundays there really wasn't anything better to do. You didn't have TV to watch. You didn't have football. You didn't have a Super Bowl going on. You didn't have any kind of sports going on Sunday. I don't go this far, but someone had actually said that they believe that Satan invented football to keep people away from God. I don't believe that. But I do think Satan is involved in the reason why football is something going on Sunday evening and on during times that, well, we should be assembling. I think he's responsible for that. Good, nothing against football. I enjoy watching football every once in a while. But not at the sacrifice of coming together to worship God with His people. But like I said, you shouldn't be coming because you have nothing better to do. If that's what it's like in your life, if you have nothing better to do, so you're just going to come here? Because when that was the case, again, this was the case years ago, when that happens, Satan found something better for folks to do, if you will. Can I use that term, better to do, a little bit loosely there? He found stuff that was better to do in a lot of Christians' minds, even today, than come together and worship God. And if that's the reason why you're coming today, Satan will find you something better to do, if you will. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you haven't turned there already. This describes the devil right here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be of sober spirit. Why? Why be sober spirit? Why have a clear mind is the idea. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is going to use every opportunity he can to keep you away from God. He'll find you excuses to stay away from the assembly if you let him. Sadly, too many people let him. But as we've looked at all these topics on why you should not attend, I'm going to now move on to the more positive side and give you reasons why you should attend. You should attend our gospel meeting, brethren, because God deserves it. Those of us who are members here, we need to be attending this gospel meeting because God deserves it. Look over there in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Let's actually go ahead and back up to verse 10, describing various people who are coming to worship God. Excuse me, again, I understand that these things are symbolic of some things. But in verse 10, it says, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne and say, worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Another good passage is there in Psalm 18, verse 3. We have a song in our songbooks called I Will Call Upon the Name of the Lord. Almost word for word, the verse there in Psalm 18, verse 3. Let's turn over there. If it's not word for word, it's almost word for word. The same part of that, first part of that song, that first part of the psalm. There in Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy, not partially worthy, not somewhat worthy, not someone we're forced into doing this for. He's worthy of being praised. And I am saved from my enemies. Now, when you think about that specific phrase at the end, saved from my enemies, sin is our enemy. Sin ensnared us in such a way that it brought about spiritual death. We were separated from God because of sin. But God saves us from our enemies. God saved us from sin. Jesus paid that horrible, terrible thing on the that horrible, terrible death on the cross to save us from our sin. Is Jesus not deserving of our faithful attendance to Him, to His worship, to the assembly of the saints? Is God not worthy of that? Is God someone who doesn't deserve that? We see reasons why He does deserve it. Are there reasons why He doesn't? Another reason why we should attend this upcoming meeting is because you need it. That back there in Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, we see these commands to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, love and good works. Why would God give this command if we didn't need it? Why would God tell us, encourage one another in verse 25 if we didn't need encouragement from one another? You know, some people approach Wednesday evening Bible study and gospel meetings like this. They'll approach it and say, well, I've had a rough week, I've had a rough time at my job, or I've had a rough time with my neighbor, or I've just had a rough week in general. I'd rather just stay home and watch TV, get my mind off things. Too many folks I've known over the years take this approach. And here's the thing. This should be the place where we come to recharge, if you will. This should be the place when we come together, that is. Not just this building. Whenever we come together to worship God. Whenever we assemble. Our assembly should be the time and place. Wherever we assemble should be the time and place. When we get our, we might say, recharge our batteries, if you will. Before we go back out into the world. It should be of that encouragement, that stimulation of love and good works. That should recharge us in our walk with God. We have a rough day. I'll tell you this right now. There's been times I've had some of the roughest times, roughest days during the week. But when I attended on Wednesday evening, when I was still growing up, well, I'm talking about when I was 21, that was 5 years ago. But when I was 21 and working long hours at work, having to deal with all that stress that came with a lot of the things that were in that job, grumpy customers, we call them Karens, people who put you down, sometimes even coworkers who do the same. You go through all of that. It weighs us down. But when I came to worship service and I attended and I came to Bible study on Wednesday evening, that helped so much during those trying weeks, during those trying times, during those stressful periods. I need stimulation to love and good works. I need encouragement. Everyone here needs that, including you. That's one reason why we should be attending, because we need it. Another reason why you should attend this gospel meeting is because your brethren need you. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, notice with me verses 15 through 16. This is what Paul wrote the brethren in Ephesus. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, the church is the body, by the way, mentioned here. It's there in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, talk about the church being the body of Christ. But verse 16, from whom the whole body, the whole church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working, notice that that's what the New American Standard says, proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You think about that idea of proper working of each joint, each part of the body. Back in November, 2 days before Thanksgiving, I woke up with a very sharp pain in my eye. And I went to the doctor. They said it was what you would call a cornea abrasion. But I had blurred vision in my eye. I've gotten used to it, but they said it's probably not going to be healed till, sounds like, sometime in June. 8 months, that's going to be the case. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but when you got one eye seeing clear and one eye seeing blurry, that's not always the most comforting thing to have. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, it can give you headaches. Sometimes it can make you dizzy if you're standing up for hours, several hours, without taking a break. But I point all that out. Again, with my eye not functioning properly, it causes the rest of the body to not function right. It causes a hindrance to the body. In Ephesians 4, verse 15 through 16, when an individual Christian, as a part of their local congregation, is not doing what they can do to the fullest of their ability to help supply every need that they can supply to their brethren. For example, this meeting coming up, when a person can attend. Again, we're not getting on those who might be sick, might have different situations like an emergency come up or are forced to work at that particular point in time. But when we can be here, when we have that opportunity to, we have that ability to, and we say, I don't really want to do that today. Are we not failing to as a part of the body that should work. I'll never forget a few years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but I remember a preacher was telling me he invited some members of his congregation to his house, and he set a pizza before them and said, "Here's a pizza for you, but here's the thing, you can have it, but only if you don't use your thumbs." Now imagine trying to eat pizza without your thumbs for a second. That's probably going to be a big mess. You just try to imagine functioning without any part of your body. Whether you cut off a finger, whether you cut off a thumb, both your thumbs, whether you cut off a toe, a foot, a leg, whether your arm just completely goes limp, left or right, especially if you're left or right-handed, depending on that situation, what happens? There's a hindrance to how you're able to operate in your day-to-day life. Something that needs to be understood is when we are not operating to the fullest of our capacity to help this body, to help this congregation here in Alney. What happens? Again, when every part of the body is working to, again, proper working, it says there in verse 16, of each individual part, it causes growth. It causes, again, that stimulation to love and good works. Well, when the members of the body stop working, isn't that going to have the opposite effect? Isn't that going to tear down rather than build up? That's something that we really need to consider when it comes to our duties to one another as Christians. One final reason why you should attend this gospel meeting that we're about ready to have. Those of us who are here among this congregation, you can apply this sermon to just attending in general. But the one final reason why we should attend, those of us here should attend this meeting. Attend our gospel meeting. Attend, if you're not a member here, if you're a member somewhere else, attend the gospel meetings of your congregation wherever you are. This actually matches up with the last point of our previous point, last sub-point, because you don't have anything better to do. Yes, we understand 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if a man is unwilling to work, neither shall he eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, says, if a man is unwilling to provide for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We understand there's certain situations, again, with work and other things like that, that may force a person to not be able to attend. But is there something better we can be doing the week? When we have that opportunity to be here, especially for this gospel meeting, our presence can encourage people to obey the gospel. Especially, this helps in evangelism. Is there anything better to do than that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Is there anything possible, possibly anything better that we can be doing than coming together, worshiping God, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, and encouraging one another? Is there anything better than that? That we could be possibly doing? The answer is no. If we have that opportunity to be here and we say, no, we're not going to be, we fail in this regard. There's absolutely nothing better that you can be doing when we have this opportunity to come together, encourage one another. Again, I'm repeating myself a little bit. That's what Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 shows us. If you're here this morning, perhaps you've listened to what we've talked about. You realize that maybe something we've talked about describes you in a negative way. Maybe you fall in a way in something we've talked about. Maybe you've fallen into sin in another way. You can come forward and repent of that sin How do you do that, though? How do you get your heart right with God when, how does a Christian get their heart right with God when they do sin? Well, here's what you have to do. You have to repent of your sin and confess your sin. And if you come forward and do that this morning, we'll pray to God for forgiveness on your behalf. This sermon we've talked about has to deal with attending our gospel meeting. What will your decision be on this? I would certainly hope we choose the better option and come here in order to be able to do these things, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, to encourage one another, and all these things we've talked about, and worship God. Perhaps you have never become a Christian, though. Perhaps you've never decided to obey the Lord's plan of salvation. You've never been added to the family of God. You can do that this morning by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized. If you need to obey that plan of salvation, or if you need to return to God, there's absolutely no good reason to prevent that from happening. There's absolutely no good reason to delay in doing that. If you need to get your heart right with God, please do so right now as we stand and sing.
Sinner, come.